Hi, this is Matt Hill, the voice of Captain N, the Game Master, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Unleash the geek in you.
Hello and welcome to GeekCast Radio. This is episode 322. I'm, of course, JFG and Mike. And we are continuing on the musical train that we've been on for a while now. And it's been almost 20 episodes since we did a Hall & Oates thing. Of course, that was last year. Almost. We're just over the month. It's been a year and a month, just under a month, when we recorded the H2O 40th anniversary album party. And joining me is Mr. Jesse Jackson from Set Lusting Bruce, Perfectly Good Podcast, and some other weird police box thing he does. I don't know.
Hello, Mike.
Yes, hello, hello.
It is. It's always a good time to talk Hall & Oates.
Absolutely.
So excited and ready to talk a little music with you, ready to have a little fun. So, yeah, this is going to be great.
Yeah, so just to get the not trying to pull any kind of isms out of my butt or anything, but the ageism between the two of us, folks, I was 3 years old when this album came out, and Jesse was about a year or so away from marrying the love of his life.
Yes. Yeah. We kind of that ran into just recently. Sylvan and I had Jake Thistle on, and he was talking about, you know, that the age, you know, like if we were talking about the different ages, he was like three when something came off. And Sylvan's like, oh, I was a teenager, and I was like, I was already married. So, yeah, very, very change. Yeah, so I remember when you actually heard Daryl Hall and John Oates on the radio. That's how old I am.
Yep. I remember that, too, but I remember the decline because I was, you know, three, four, five, six, 7 years old by the time I was 6 years old. I think they were done because Daryl did the first solo album, Three Hearts and the Happy Ending Machine, which that's coming up on its 40th anniversary. Oh, my God. So, yeah. So continuing on with our new tradition, once a year, Jesse and I are going to get together over the next couple of years and talk about some Hall & Oates albums right around sort of the time that each album released 40 years ago. And this time around, it's a little bit different because I've known about this for years, but I remember as a kid back then, like, oh, this is a greatest hits. Wait, aren't these guys brand new? Obviously, they debuted in 72 to 83. That's 11 years. After 11 years, you put out a greatest hits disc and all that. But yeah, this was, as a kid, this was like all new to me. This was not like, I was like, okay, cool. Didn't know Maneater was a top whatever number hit, or, you know, didn't know all this stuff. And Rock and Soul Part One, we are talking about the 2006 remastered version, because on the remastered version it has two additional tracks. So the original Greatest Hits album includes, I'm going to do this in a funny way, so don't correct me because I know what I'm doing here, but Sarah Smile, She's Gone, Rich Girl, Kiss on My List, You Make My Dreams Come True, Private Eyes, I Can't Go for That, No Can Do, Maneater, One on One, Wait for Me, and two new tracks, because who the hell heard about doing a greatest hit album with two new tracks on it, Say It Isn't So, and Adult Education. Now, in the track listing for this specific album, if you're listening to it on whatever you're listening to it on, whether it's a digital service or an LP or a cassette or whatever, Say It Isn't So is the first track, and Adult Education is the eighth track. But I remember as a kid looking at the back of every version that my mom had of, like, she had it on LP, she had it on cassette, she had, according to Wikipedia, citation needed, but this was the first, one of the first discs, one of the first albums to get a compact disc in 1983 or 84, whenever the hell that happened. And I remember the back of that album so much because it said, here's all these songs, and the track listing started with Sarah Smile as the first track. And then at the bottom of it, it's like, plus two new songs. And I was like, wait, what? So yeah, absolutely. And then the bonus tracks from the 2006 remastered edition was a another version. Is it the same version or a different version of it? I didn't know this until like a year ago. Apparently, Family Man is a cover. Gone my whole life, 43 years, not knowing Family Man was a cover. And then obviously the amazing cover of the Righteous Brothers, You've Lost That Love and Feeling. So that's what we're talking about tonight. Wow. What were your, what do you remember from back then, Jesse? Like, list, did you, were you, I know you, you've always kind of been a Bruce fan, but were you on the cusp of Hall & Oates in the MTV generation, or was it a little bit too out of your age range?
No, not at all, Mike. I loved the videos, was really, really happy to listen to them. I owned multiple cassettes of their music. So, yeah, I was a definite fan. I don't remember if I bought this Greatest Hits or not. I may have had already, you know, the songs on a already on a cassette that I love. So I may not have. What's interesting, at least to me, and I hope the audience, is coming up on an episode of Perfectly Good Podcast. We discuss John Hiatt's first. Best of John Hiatt, not his greatest hits, because John did not have quote unquote greatest hits, but the best of John Hiatt that Capitol had put out. And Sylvan, who's my co-host, talked about that she was frustrated because you had to buy the CD to get two songs that had never been replaced.
Yep.
You know, Don't Know Much About Love, and I can't think of the other one, but we had talked about Don't Know Much About Love. And so this is a thing, now I'm going to sound like an old man, that the man used to do, right? You, for completist, you would have to buy this cassette or CD or collection because you wanted these unreleased songs.
Uh-huh.
And because back then you couldn't go to your favorite streaming service and just buy the individual song. And so that's what they would do to give you an incentive to buy the greatest hits. They would throw something on there that, oh, well, not only could I have some of my favorite songs on one release, but I get these bonus things.
Yeah.
And that's you know, and we talked about this. I think I've heard this on multiple podcasts that talk about music. Greatest hits releases are not much of a thing anymore because that's what streaming does for you.
Yeah.
You automatically can hear the greatest hits.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice if somebody puts out a like some band like Hall & Oates or like, you know, Take a Drink, Bruce Springsteen, John Hiatt, whatever, even though John doesn't have, you know, all that. But, you know, it's nice when they do, oh, like, this is a 40th anniversary. Like, we're going to give you everything you've had for the last 40 years. Oh, and by the way, here's this whatever. Like, every time, I swear, every time Spotify says, hey, Daryl Hall released a new track, I'm like, no, he didn't. He did, probably, most likely, but there's another band that I listen to that I specifically know because I follow the – it's a rock band called 12 Stones. I specifically know that they haven't put out music in X number of years, but Spotify every once in a while will come up and say, 12 Stones, new single titled this. I'll click on it and I'll be like, they're not electronica. Like, that's not what they are. So I pointed out to the lead, like, literally, I'm friends with the lead singer on Facebook. And I'm like, you might want to do something about this, or you might want to have your people do something about this, because Spotify is saying 12 Stones put out a new record, and I know you guys didn't yet anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, greatest hits aren't, like, you know, we are our own DJs now when it comes to online streaming music services, whether it's Spotify or Apple or whatever people use. And this was a thing of the times. And, you know, for me, all of these, like, I remember Maneater is on H2O. Mind over matter. Family Man was on H2O, but that was a bonus track on this. Oh, but like, looking, one of the things I really didn't, I have never liked as a kid, and as an adult, you know this, we've talked about this at length on other episodes, but just to remind the audience, I'm not the biggest fan of live music recorded on an album. If I want a live performance, I want to be at the live performance. I want to hear the actual studio version of the song. And I have never liked Wait For Me. Never. Wait for me, please. Wait for me, girl. Okay. 40 years, I've never liked that song. Come to find out, it's off of their 1970-something album, whatever. And I'm like, oh, I'll go listen to the album. And I still don't like the song.
Okay. And you know, if you think about it, back then, mm-hmm. it made a lot of sense from a marketing level, mm-hmm. that you throw in an unreleased single to try to get the dedicated fans,
right?
And then you have the casual fan picks up that CD, and then you hope that they'll go, oh, I really like this. Maybe I should go back to some of the earlier albums and check out some of the other things, right?
Yeah.
Some of the deeper cuts. So, yeah, yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, and a lot of these tracks, like, I only know that, like, I have – where I start with Hall & Oates is – pretty much what we've already talked about with H2O, even though I was only 2 years old. But where I start is that and 1984's Big Bam Boom. And that's not necessarily where I stop with them, but that's where I start. And then there's this, and I hear all of these songs, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. Yes, now 40 years later, I understand this is a greatest hits album. But at the time, 40 years ago, I'm like, oh, these are all new to me as a child. This is cool. I like this. Yes, I know Private Eyes is from the 1981 album, Private Assault, the same title and all that. But it's just one of those things where hearing these for the first time back then in this format was really, really interesting and cool, because when was Sarah written? Sarah was, what, in the mid-70s, I think? Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah, so yeah, 75. It was released. Sarah Smile was released in 75. So like, I would have never known that. I would have never had, like, without this. That's again, that's the cool thing about greatest hits albums to me is that, like you were saying a moment ago, they may make you go to the original place that the music was originally and get some of the deeper cuts, but you can also go and see where the song you like came from to be on that greatest hits CD.
Yes, absolutely.
So really quickly, let's get this out of the way. I remember two versions of the artwork. I remember the gray, yellow, and purple version because that's what I had as a kid. And I remember the red, yellow, and black version because I just remember that. I do also remember the two of them with the CD, with them just standing there in front of the microphone, which I did not know that that was a shot. That was a picture from the one-on-one video because that's what the that's what they're wearing, the suits and the whatever that they're wearing. And that, according to Discogs, which I don't know how accurate Discogs is, but there are 173 versions of this Greatest Hits album throughout multiple countries. And I was asking another Hall & Oates aficionado buddy of mine, John Lamoureux. I'm probably – if I butchered your name, I'm sorry. I was asking him about this because he's also a Hall & Oates fan. And he's like, yeah, I have no idea. So I just started Googling, and I found this thing on Discogs that I sent you. And I'm like, okay, the only thing I can reason why there's 173 different versions is because it's in multiple countries and multiple different catalog number listings. So you have the LPs, you have the cassettes, you probably have the compact disc, you have this, you have that. But the artwork is all different in various ones, and I'm just like, I just want the purple one. That's all I want.
That's interesting. You know, I did not know that. You know, and I do not remember seeing different versions, you know, and I also think another to give, young Mike a little bit of an excuse, you know, it isn't like the album says greatest hits, it is named Rock and Soul Part One. So it could very easily have been, oh, okay, great.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. This is just another album.
Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing is by the time after Big Bam came out in 84, I'm like, OK, well, where's Rock and Soul Part Two?
Yeah, exactly.
They would never have a Rock and Soul Part Two, but it is what it is. All right. So going through the tracks here, out of the 14 that we've listened to, give me your top four favorites out of the 14.
I love Kiss on My List, and You Make My Dreams, the two poppy songs. I love that, those poppy songs. She's Gone also, if I'm going to do three. So Kiss on My List, You Make My Dream, She's Gone. Smile was one of those that as I was listening to it, getting ready for this, you know, I was like, boy, that got a lot of airplay. And I'm kind of tired of it. You know how there's songs you go, I've heard so much, I don't want to hear again. You know, but, you know, to start out, you know, you're listening to this and you go, wow, they had a lot of chart power.
Yeah,
they do catchy pop rock and roll. I mean, yep. This is very much, you know, singles driven, catchy songs that it's fun to sing along with. If you're someone who likes to dance, it's fun to go, you know, to dance with. And yeah. So how about you? What would be the top three that you think of?
You Make My Dreams, just because I hear that song all the time. Yeah. I've got it on my faves playlist that I've had for over 20 years now, or however long it was since 2006. Yeah. I have always loved Say It Isn't So. I don't know why, but I just really dig that. But if I'm facing with being replaced, I want to even more. So baby, say it isn't so. It isn't so. Oh, say it isn't so. It isn't so. Oh, no. Now say it isn't so. It isn't so. Oh, say it isn't so. It isn't so.
Yeah.
And then probably it's going to be Adult Education, because
okay.
I don't know what the hell kind of adult education they're trying to teach, but
yeah,
man, that is one catchy tune.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people will say that songs from the 80s age, they don't age well. The synthesizers, the things. I still liked this album. When I was listening to it, this certainly did not feel like homework. This just felt fun to be listening to this music.
Yeah. And the thing of it is I have, like I said, I have a number of Daryl Hall and John Oates songs on my other my faves playlist. They don't always come up because I use Shuffle, and
yeah.
Shuffle is, you know, slave to the whatever algorithm that Spotify decides to give me or whatever. When they do come up, it's like, oh, cool, I like this. Listening back to this, I forgot how enjoyable this album, even though it is a greatest hits out, because it doesn't play like, because again, me being 3, 4, 5 years old when they were at their top of their game, it was all new to me then. It's kind of all new to me now because I barely listen to half of them nowadays, yeah. Most of the time. So going back and listening through this, I'm like, oh, this is a really cool, interesting, fun. I remember that song. Oh, what's this? And then for me anyway, personally, it's like, oh great, One-on-One and Wait For Me. Like, Wait For Me, the only reason why it's just because it's the live version, but listening to the non-live version, I don't know, it's just like you were talking about, I like we both like the more poppy, the more upbeat. And the thing about their music is, yes, it's rock and pop and whatever else, but you mentioned the synth. They were like pioneers of synthesized music. They really were. And it works. Even after 40 years, it works, because it's not something anyone today is really doing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Are there any tracks that you would probably skip? Well, you mentioned Sarah Smile earlier, but what are some tracks you'd skip off this?
So I'm not a huge fan of Maneater, though it was huge off the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. but not too much. And since I've not heard this in a while,
mm-hmm.
none of them were these I feel like I needed to skip. As I was listening to a second time, you know, I believe, you know, they're You Lost That Loving Feeling actually was a radio hit for them, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do not remember Family Man. This was one that I did not recognize, and you know, was it didn't leave as a big impression on me as some, but you know, I really, the core group, that 1 through 12, that's a solid lineup. You know, if you were a casual Daryl Hall and John Oates fan, you know, you get any of these 12, you get half of them in a live show, you're feeling really great.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're getting a lot of the hits. And obviously, deeper cuts mean more to the more hardcore fans. Yep. But, yeah, that is just, oh, man, that is just some great stuff.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't remember Family Man. We just talked about it a year ago. It's track one on side B of H2O.
As you well know, I do a lot of podcasting and talk a lot of music. So, yes, I know.
Well, this man is more of a podcast machine than I am. He just, as of this recording, just completed 30 days of Bruce Springsteen episodes on award-winning, over 1,000 episode podcast Set Lusty. How did you? Not even I can do 30 straight days of record. What kind of drugs are you on, old man?
yeah, it is. Luckily, the Dallas Cowboys season hadn't started. I couldn't get baseball, and it was it. And you know, the TV writers and actors were on strike, so not as much new TV. Yeah, it was. It what's funny is I try to do that every September in honor of the Springsteen birthday and my Set Lusting Bruce anniversary. Then in November, there's always that there is a national podcast posting month challenge to do 30 episodes in 30 days. I'm like, yeah, I've already done that. Wow. I can't do it in November yet. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Here you go. Here, November, just go back to September, and I already did this.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
There's so many. Wow, there are so many versions of the Lost This Love and Feeling. Like, I'm scrolling for days here. But yes, it did 7 weeks in reach and peaked at number 4, the Hall & Oates version. Stayed there for 1 week. Song stayed on the top 10 chart for 6 weeks and remained on it for 13. It also reached number 55 in the UK singles chart. But
And I, you know, it's a classic. It is a standard. Mm-hmm. It's a rock standard. But I think they made it their own. I think they did a good job and kind of took care of business themselves. I love their harmonies, and I think it's, you know, if you're going to do a classic, I think that's great.
Yeah. There's only, like, when it comes to covers, like, I had never heard, like we'd mentioned last year, I never heard the original. I didn't even know Family Man was a cover. I thought it was Hall & Oates original. It's not. It's a outfield or whatever cover.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine, but I love their version. I love their version of it. I love the original Righteous Brothers version of You Lost That Love and Feeling. Very classic. I think Hall & Oates adds their, I don't want to say edge, but their style to it, in the sense of the whole rock and soul thing. But it's still, you can still listen to their version and like, oh, this is kind of like the right. It's not the Righteous Brothers, like, note for note kind of thing, but it's one of those things where it's like you can't mistake them, but you're not going to turn either version off if you like both of them. Some of the other ones, like you said, I like Kiss on My List. I was surprised that this, like, I know the original, the way they initially put the track listing on the back of the whatever, it started with Sarah Smile. But if you start with Say It Isn't So, Sarah Smile, She's Gone, Rich Girl, Kiss on My List, You Make My Dreams, those six songs, that's, you know, you always talk about Bruce Springsteen and what story he's doing with his concert and the tour that he's doing. Like, those six songs seem to be a story to me. Like, somehow, like, even though Sarah Smile is Daryl's song for his then-girlfriend at the time, Sarah Allen, and She's Gone is about John losing his fiance or girlfriend or whatever on New Year's Eve. And then you get Rich Girl, Kiss on My List, and You Make My Dreams. Like, You Make My Dreams feels like an exclamation point on the other five songs.
I could see that. I really could see that. Yeah, I think that's well said.
And then the rest of them, you know, you go from You Make My Dreams to Private Eyes, Adult Education, I Can't Go For That, No Can Do, Man Eater, One on One, and Wait For Me. I'm kind of okay with One on One. I'm kind of okay with it. I get it. I see where they're going with it. I like the story in it. But, I mean, they've even said themselves, I Can't Go For That is it's not about any really, it's about the record business itself. It's about dealing with the record companies and all that. Maneater, what I've heard is that it's about the city eating you alive. I could be wrong in that, but it's not some chick out to, you know, get some guy screwed up kind of thing. It's not, you know, whatever. And I like those, but I don't like them enough on this to, like, every once in a while it's fine. I like Man Eater where it is on H2O. I think that's perfect for it.
Yeah. One of the other podcasts that Rock in the Suburbs that the Patrick and
Justin.
Yeah, no, it's why am I drawing a blank on their things? But the host, Patrick, do a thing called Perfect Pop Songs.
Okay.
And what are songs? And I think Kiss on My List would be on that list. That is a song that would be, you know, that is just a perfect pop song. You know, it just the melody, the line, the lyrics, it makes you smile. It's just a lovely pop song.
Yeah. So Daryl and John are on vocals, keyboards, synthesizers, guitars. They were doing everything. Daryl was on the vibraphone.
Yeah.
In the arrangements. Charlie DeChant on keyboard, saxophone, and additional backing vocals. The late, great Tom T-Bone Wolk, keyboards, guitars, bass guitar, additional backing vocals and arrangements. G.E. Smith, lead guitars. And Mickey Curry on drums. Mickey Curry on drums is a master. That man can do no wrong when it comes to the drums for a Hall & Oates song, because it's just so good.
Yeah, really is. And they're so, you know, I love the idea, just the idea of this one hit after another. And I'm going to go back and listen over the next couple of days and kind of see it that the whole idea of, are they telling that story and read it from that story?
I could be wrong because I'm usually wrong about a lot of things, but I just, when I was listening to that, I was like, wait a minute. Because, you know, you get Say It Isn't So, and it's doing what it's doing and all of that. And then, you know, Sarah Smile, She's Gone. Now, obviously, like I said a moment ago, Sarah Smile and She's Gone, they are not they're not two sides of the same coin. Sarah Smile is a dedicated love song to his, like I said, then girlfriend. She's Gone is about a breakup. And it's not the breakup of the two of them, because they would go on. Daryl and Sarah were together for years before they ended up splitting up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, so She's Gone, Rich Girl, and then Kiss on My List, You Make My Dreams. You know, Kiss on My List and You Make My Dreams. Those two as a double shot powerhouse, like,
yeah,
like, again, from Say It Isn't So to You Make My Dreams, like, that's just, it just seems like the, and again, I read into a lot of stuff, so yeah. I'm probably wrong, but it just, when I was listening to it today, I just kind of like got this like light, like literal light bulb over my head. Luckily it didn't fall on my head, but you know, mm-hmm. light bulb over my head. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And then yeah. I realized, and I was like, oh, I get it. And, you know, greatest hits, even though this doesn't, well, like you said, doesn't say it's a greatest hits, but let's face it, it is. Everywhere it's described as a greatest hits disc. And yeah. I still, no matter where I am, if I hear I don't even need more than one chord, Jesse. If I hear the first chord of You Make My Dreams, I'm just like, yep, okay, stop, whatever yeah. I'm doing. Let's just start listening to this because I love this song, and I know it was in, I think it was, is it that song that's in like whatever that 500 Days of Summer, whatever that movie was. Like some of their songs, Maneater is a perfect example, even though that was on H2O, but it's here. Grace Mitchell did a cover of it for the Walter Mitty movie.
Okay.
And I heard that and I'm like, oh, that is so cool. Like, I never had neither good nor bad feelings towards Maneater my entire life, but I heard that version of it. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. I like this song again, kind of thing. But in the context of Rock and Soul Part One, it's a 7 and 7/10. Because, like, normally you would skip songs. Normally, okay, I've heard Sarah Smile too much. Okay, sure, fine. I've heard She's Gone too much. Okay, fine. But you get to ones that you haven't heard in a long time. Like, this, for me, listening to this as an album, not – and, yes, again, like you mentioned, most of these versions on here are the singles versions. They aren't album versions from whichever album. Right. But, you know – it was the time, 83, 84, hell, all the way throughout the 90s. Record companies loved singles, loved A-sides, loved B-sides, loved doing all that kind of stuff. And you put a collection of singles together that at least seemingly the first six of them, through my own neurotic whatever, is telling a story. And then you listen to the back eight and it's like, oh, this is a cool song. This is a cool song. Even the ones I'm not that thrilled with, except for the live version one, like I was like, oh, yeah, I can't go for that. Trash, nope, not happening today. Laundry, nope, see you later. Even though I know that's not what the song's about. But it's just one of those things yeah. where it's a good 14 tracks. It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah,
it's solid.
It's, yeah, it is. And, you know, not always is that the case. You know, mm-hmm. there are a couple of songs that you might go, eh. But in this one, I absolutely agree. It is a really, really well done, you know, collection of songs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
Are there any that you will add to your regular rotation off of this? Or are there any that you already have in your regular rotation?
Yeah, as I talked about, Kiss on My List, You Make My Dreams. If I'm doing an up to beat, like if I'm doing a, let's say I'm making an old fashioned mixtape, but except it would be in a, you know, an iTunes playlist, you know, I would have those on there when I'm wanting, like Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves, you know, a couple other songs that, especially if I'm trying to do a non-Bruce, you know, playlist, you know, just to cut things up, just to shake things up, I would have those on there for sure. But I will tell you, Mike, this was fun homework to just, I put it on Spotify. I just had it, I had it on repeat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just listened to it two or three times and just was enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I thought it was really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, there aren't, because like we've already talked about, I'm not trying to repeat myself and ourselves too much, but normally greatest hits discs, you like one or two songs off of it. You will take those songs and add them to whatever playlist so you could have those songs. And obviously playlist nowadays, like you said before, recorded on a cassette or whatever in the olden days. But man, these, I forgot. I didn't forget, but like, cause it's like, people say to me, people will look at me and be like, Mike, TFGO and Mike, why are you a Nickelback fan? And I'm like, because I like the music. I don't care about whatever other bullshit anyone else thinks about them. I like the music. But
yeah,
in the playlist that I've curated, like back when I was still using iTunes, when I used to use Apple products back in 2006, 2007, 2008, when I first started podcasting, I started this. I was like, okay, if I'm purchasing, at that time, I was purchasing all the music individually, $1.29 download or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, if I'm doing this, I'm making this major playlist that has everything I have ever wanted to listen to on it, no matter what.
Right.
When I switched to Spotify in 2017, I'm like, okay, I need to, I basically spent. And normally on a PC at the time that was as old as mine was, you really couldn't have iTunes and Spotify open at the same time because the computer would be like, we don't want to do that. But at the time, I was able to copy over just finding every – like that playlist has – I don't even know how many it has. It probably has – let's see here. Does it give me the – it's – it has 1,468 songs, and it's 96 hours and 24 minutes.
Yeah.
And I've had those same 96 hours and 24 minutes, and I've added things to it over the years, obviously, kind of thing. But, like, most of what's in there is stuff that I – when we were doing a lot of the Bruce stuff, when I was doing a lot of the set listing Bruce stuff for you, or when I was doing the John High, I'm like, okay, like, even now – going back and doing some John Hyatt stuff. It's like, all right, I'm going to add that to my face playlist. Bruce.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Bobby Jean, I remember that from a TV show. I'm going to add that. I just keep – very rarely do I ever take anything off of it. Now, that doesn't mean I don't skip things from – like I don't – you know, next, whatever. But very rarely do I ever take anything off of it. And this greatest hits thing is just – it's not just a greatest – it's an album by itself where
– yeah. I agree.
It has songs on it that are doing something that I don't think they ever intended. And I know Daryl has said, and I think John has said several times in their careers, that song interpretation is up to the listener, even though we know Sarah, she said it in the VH1 Behind the Music thing they did years ago. You know, he wrote that song, he sent it to me, or he gave it to me, or had me listen to it, and I viewed it as a love letter. It's a love letter to her, because it was about her.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but like Adult Education or Kiss on My List, I'm sure there are plenty of players out there who have plenty of Kisses on their list kind of thing. You know, you could take any song, not just this album, but it's all about an interpretation of the listener and how you want to feel about it. And most of this album is... feel, She's Gone's a breakup song, but it's a how is it a feel good breakup song, Jesse? Like, you hear that, and even though it is about the man losing his heart on New Year's Eve of 19 whatever, 70s, 80s something. You hear that, and I'm not crying. I'm not laughing, but I'm not crying. I just, these songs, man, just like you were saying, you know, you listen to it today, we listened to it earlier, and I've been listening to this off and on like the past week just to make sure I have it fresh in my head for when we're going to do this. And yeah. 40 years. Wow. Just.
Yeah.
It's a great album. And you have to have the 2006 bonus version because Family Man is a nice palate cleanser. Like if I was,
yeah.
I don't often take albums and make playlists out of them just to excise certain songs, but I would most definitely make one for this and One on One would happen. And then Family Man would happen and Wait for Me would not be there. But
yeah,
I forgot that on the bonus track for the remastered version, that Family Man. And then I knew You Lost That Love and Feeling was there. And I'm just like, I haven't listened to that Hall & Oates version in a long, like I'm adding that. It's just fun. And that's what we need. We've needed, I mean, the world's been through a lot of crap in the last 3.5 to 4 years. And even though we're kind of, sort of, almost maybe out of a lot of the, most of the bad stuff, but there's still a lot of stuff going on. There's still a lot of ramifications from what happened. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
People have all kinds of emotional, I'm going to say bullshit, but it isn't bullshit. It's like emotional problems, heartache, heartbreak, whatever it is, or, you know, yeah, even, you know, my own neurotic abilities and whatever else, stuff that I do sometimes. But it's like, I listened to this and I was like, at the end of it, damn, I'm a little happier for listening to this, even though some of the topics in some of the songs are supposed to be sad.
You know, and that is beautiful when music can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you can sit there and listen, that's just really, really good stuff. And mm-hmm. And I think you're right. I think that to have that ability and to make things better, to feel a little better, it's yeah, such a gift that music does that for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
All right, folks, we are going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff. We're going to come back to close the show, give ratings and all that good stuff right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Steve Megatron, and I've always had a fascination with Star Trek.
I'm TF2 and Mike, and I've always had a defiant fascination with Star Trek.
Together, we will be going through Star Trek TNG, Deep Space Nine, the films, and Picard.
That's right.
So get altered, get Trekkie with us here on Altered Trek.
Do you know John Hiatt songs?
Maybe you know them from being covered by Roseanne Cash, Three Dog Night, the Neville Brothers, Emmylou Harris, Eric Clapton, B.B. King, Jeff Healey, Bonnie Raitt, or literally hundreds of others.
Maybe you have some of his albums on your shelf or in your cow-horned Cadillac right now.
I'm Jesse Jackson.
And I'm Sylvan Groff.
And we're going to dive in from A to Z. Join us on the Perfectly Good Podcast.
We're going to discuss all of your favorites and uncover some forgotten gems, from Aces Up Your Sleeve to Zero House.
Rate and debate every John Hiatt song on the Perfectly Good Podcast. Have a little faith. For over 6 years, my guest and I have been discussing the soundtracks to our lives. I'm Jesse Jackson, and I've had hundreds of fans from around the world share their stories about the power and magic of all kinds of music. If you enjoy stories about joy, redemption, trials, and ultimately triumph, then please check out Setlisting Bruce, a Bruce Springsteen fan podcast. Remember, there is magic in the night.
All All right, folks, we are back here on GeekCast Radio. This is episode 322. I don't know what's coming up next. I have no clue. We will find out. I do know Steve Megatron and I are going to be doing something called Obsessive Compulsive Geek Disorder, so OCGD. Steve's not having problems, but he's brought this topic to me of the need of wanting things or needing things, or hey, I had this Star Trek ship when I was a kid, I want this again, or hey, I had this when we eventually do next year when Jesse and I get together for Big Bam Boom, I already have it, but was it last year? And it's only to have it because I don't have a record player.
Yeah.
I went on eBay and I bought the LP because I love the artwork. Even though I can't play the damn record, I just love just seeing it there. So, yeah, I think we're going to do something called Obsessive Compulsive Geek Disorder. Before we get out of here, before I run through the closing, Jesse, 0 to 5 with half points because that's the way it's supposed to be. What would you give Rock and Soul Part 1, 1983, 40 years?
So thank you for embracing the half points.
I always have. We've always had them.
Yes. So I am going to give this 4 out of 5 not listening to friends' advice.
I'm right there with you. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. And the only reason why I'm giving it a 4 out of 5 is I'm taking 1 point off, half point for Wait For Me. And One-on-One, I guess it's okay, but it's one of the more slower ones on there. So it's not one that I really want to go back to all that much. But other than that, the other 12 tracks are absolutely amazing. We probably should do some research into the whole my idea of the story of the song for the first 6 tracks at some point, I guess. But for now, so this is going to be coming out actually the anniversary date of the album, October 18th, 2023. What have you got going on in your podcasting world, sir?
So on October 18th, as we are very timey-wimey. Mm-hmm. I just dropped an episode with Claire Sanderson from the UK. She is a celloist, a violist, and she is a brand new Springsteen fan. She had never been a fan. And Ian Beasby, who is a friend of the podcast, sent her they had gotten to be friends. She sent him a link to a Bruce song, and she is now become obsessed. So she is this, as an adult, finding Bruce and kind of going through her deep range. So Claire's episode came out on 10/17, and coming up on 10/24, I have an attorney from the Tampa, Florida area that has seen Bruce multiple times. And we had a great story. He had a couple of great stories about seeing Bruce in Tampa. So that's what I've got coming up in October.
Awesome, awesome. Like I said, we may be doing obsessive compulsive geek disorder next time in episode 323. Other than that, I don't know. But for now, thank you for listening to us here on GeekCast Radio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment, listen to, and comment on all of our content. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays: Apple, Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please, Spotify, and any other podcasting client you choose to use. Follow us on X at Geekcast Radio. I am at TFG1 Mike. You are at Jesse Jackson DFW.
I am at Jesse Jackson DFW on the X. And yes. And at Setlisting Bruce for the show podcast, you can hear Sylvan Groth and I talk every week about John Hiatt. We are going through every John Hiatt song in alphabetical order. Mike has been on the show previously and is going to be on again. We
like
always love
years.
When you visit. Yes, but still, hey. and then the episode that you – the podcast you weren't sure about, well, Next Stop Everywhere, the Doctor Who podcast, but I also do Last Best Hope for Conversation, which is our Babylon 5 rewatch, and we are also in the middle of watching 12 Monkeys for the first time and talking about that. So I am a podcasting machine following your, because of the trail, your influence.
No, it's not my influence. It's your own neuroses, because I don't know. Like, ladies and gentlemen, 30 episodes in 30 days. Like, not even I can complete that. So I have this thing at some point over on the Pull Bag, which is our comic book review and discussion-based podcast, which turned 10 years old earlier this year. Last couple of years, because Nightwing is my favorite. Dick Grayson Nightwing is my favorite DC superhero character. I've wanted to go back to the very beginning of when he debuted, the Superman issues and all that, and go forward to current. It was always going to be called 90 Nights of Nightwing, and I still have not done a damn thing with it yet, because I don't know if I can do it. I'm getting too old for this shit. Yes, Perfectly Good PD on Twitter for Perfectly Good Podcast, which is their John Hyatt A to Z podcast. You can also check them out on Facebook, as well as us on Facebook, the Geekcast Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Geekcast Radio. Wish you'll join us next time. And for now, I'm TFG and Mike with
Jesse Jackson, and keep listening.
Yes, thank you for listening. Until next time.